Hey, greetings everybody, it's Brother Tupus. I wanted to bring a audio thought today. The harvest is truly great. Let's talk about this. The harvest is truly great. Luke 10, verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So let's talk about what this means. The harvest is great. And first of all, you know, it doesn't matter how many people are redeemed and enter the kingdom of God. The Bible talks about if one repents, heaven rejoices. And we know the parables about the shepherd who goes looks for the one sheep and rejoices. So it's always great no matter the number of people that come to the Lord via the gospel. But let's look a little deeper here. This word great means plentiful, large, and many. So we have people that often tell us, well, many people are going to enter the kingdom of God because look at it, it says the harvest is great and it means many. Well, what is this great harvest? Does great mean a vast number of people are going to find redemption and enter into the kingdom of God who are saved by the gospel or something else? Well, we always use scripture to interpret scripture. So first we know that few will be harvested unto eternal life. Per Jesus in Matthew 7, he said, narrow is the way and few there be that find it. That word few means puny. So that goes against this idea of great, many, large number in this harvest. So how can this be? How can we make sense of this? Well, I'm going to offer up that there is a great, large number, plentiful harvest to come. But I want to compare it to, like the harvest we see in farmers' fields, take a cornfield. I grew up in a farm community. I actually grew up on a small farm. When you harvest a cornfield, you get out of each plant a tiny amount of corn seeds, kernels, versus a giant amount of stalk and leaves and chaff all chopped up. The corn, the fruit of the harvest is very small compared to the chaff that's blown out the back of the machine, that's burned up or turned into the ground and rots away. Luke 3:17, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. So there is a great harvest, but it's a great harvest of a small amount of fruit and a large amount of chaff. You've got to harvest both. We're going to talk about that a little bit more here. So there's going to be a harvest of his elect. Matthew 24:31. Jesus told us this will be few. He will send his angels with the sound of a great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So this is known as what people call the rapture. It's not a Bible term, but that's what people know it as. And it's not happening before the tribulation. It happens at the end of the tribulation. I have teachings on that at the teaching blog at don'tperish.com. So he's going to come. He's going to harvest his elect. It's a small number, a puny number of people compared to the number of people that live on earth. Then there's going to be a harvest of what? The wicked. The Bible shows two types will be harvested. Ready? I just told you about one, the elect and the wicked. Matthew 13:29-30. But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together till the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I'll say to the reapers, gather together first the tares, bind them into bundles to be burned. That sounds like hell. But gather the wheat into my barn. So the wheat is small compared to all of the tares and the chaff that is coming from a harvest. And the book of Revelation talks about this harvest. Revelation 14:15. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come to thee, for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So there's going to be a harvest. He's going to plunge his sickle. So who's being harvested here? Saints or the world? Well, maybe both. Check this out. Revelation 14, verses, 18. And another angel came out from the altar with had power over fire, cried with a loud cry to carry him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in the sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. All right, so he's gathering the fruit there. And then verse 19, the vine is brought in. And then the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden down without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even up to the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. So in that sense, God's saints are not going to suffer God's wrath. No, that would be the lost people, the wicked of the world. So there's definitely going to be a great harvest. Jesus said a puny few of his elect are going to be harvested, and then a large, large number of the ungodly, the wicked, the chaff are going to be harvested, and they are set for God's judgment. And I think we need to remember this. Remember this, saints. God is glorified when men repent and are harvested in the end times as his elect, and when the wicked are harvested and purged from his creation, sent into outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. God's glorified in either one, so it's still a great harvest. Even though God wants none to perish, 2 Peter 3:9, people have a choice, they have a will. When they choose against God, it's glorifying to him. It's justice to go and get rid of the tares, bind them up, throw them into the fire. They have no part in the kingdom of God. They have no part in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth that's coming. So they'll be sent out away and they'll be separated. And here's a verse, several verses. They give an archetype of that, the sheep and the goats. Matthew 25, let's see, 31 through 34 and 41. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. Then he'll say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So that's kind of a archetype of a harvest, a separating. So there is a great harvest to come. It will be a vast number of people, but it's going to be few of the elect, and it's going to be a great number of the chaff and the whatever is considered the stalk and the leaves and what is not part of the fruit, the corn, the wheat. It's going to be burned up. It's useless. And so the question I have for you at the end of this, which one will you be part of? Are you part of the few holy elect via the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, repentance to him, born by his spirit and walking in holiness, striving for the kingdom and enduring? Are you one of those elect coming out of the culture and churchianity, or are you going to be in the great harvest, the great number of people that are considered chaff, bundled up and sent off to the fire, weeping, gnashing of teeth, and the wrath of God? Consider that. I hope this blessed you today. There will be a great harvest. Which side of that harvest are you going to be on? Cling to Christ via that gospel, and you will be saved in that day by the promises of God. Hope that blessed you. May God be praised.